Welcome everyone, welcome to this week's Naked Football Show. I'm getting twiddling me knobs, so to speak, getting in a mess. Joining us today is Mr. Tom Taylor, who's remembered to turn up.
Good evening. Yeah, good evening. Back from the Welsh like a Tevez. Back from Argentina.
And probably just as unfit as Mr. Tevez.
We haven't had our apology yet, though.
No, we'll get that off in a minute. And of course,
I've heard rumours in the media you've accused me of being a dog, so until that's addressed, we're not going anywhere, so...
Well, if you're not going to turn up when you're supposed to turn up, you get treated accordingly, Fido. And Mr. David James, of course, is joining me.
Good evening.
Studio@icrfm.co.uk to email in during the show, during the week, please, nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk. Right, we haven't got anything to moan about.
No.
I know, it's pony, isn't it? It upsets me greatly. We're playing good football, we're getting good results. Well,
luck's going our way. Referees not to anything to moan about.
Indeed, even the general quality of songs in the Sir Bobby Lowe's is getting better as well. It's like supporting a proper football team again. It makes me sick.
It is a bit rubbish.
Surely
isn't it? We need someone
to pay our money for.
Just see if Ray's listening, because Ray will always find something. Ray, if you're listening,
please find
a fault, please, for us. You're good at that. We'll have him on next week if he can come on.
It is our jinx.
It's amazing.
It's working, isn't it? Predicting a thrashing. We're absolutely in it. Last weekend.
We will, of course, lose heavily to Brighton on Saturday, won't we?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get a Brighton.
We all agree. Every game we lose
3-0. That's it.
Ever since I started predicting that, we don't lose every game 3-0, which is upsetting. Speaking of jinx as well, it's nice to get one on Mr. Mackay, isn't it, as well?
At last.
Like after 475 years and... many moons, we have finally built and beaten a team involving Malky Mackay. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
But some Cardiff have still got their jinx against us, thankfully.
Yes.
65 years.
Is
they've
it
won
really?
Once at Portman Road, and that was 2008.
I know.
65 years, they've only won once.
And then Pompey before that, wasn't it? I don't think they haven't beaten us.
That was 74 or something like that.
I like 74 seasons.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's a fantastic start, so... Yeah. We didn't start off fantastically. We certainly had a massive decision go our way. And it wasn't for the actual out-of-his-area, last-man, goal-scoring opportunity of that. It was the fact it was
a proper old-school
lunging tackle.
I mean, it was a red card. It was a red card for more than one reason.
If that was two midfielders in the middle of the park...
It would have seemed red.
If
that's the other way and it's the Cardiff keeper, then I think the noise of the crowd getting on his back probably influences the referee. It's one of those, I think everybody in the ground was looking at each other with a slightly quizzical expression on the face and a raised eyebrow. So, massive.
I had a fantastic view of it, and instantly it was yellow for the situation that he found himself in outside his area, taking a man out when he was throwing goal, because Delaney was there. He was angling away from goal. He would have had to take a run round Lee Barrett and then try and slot it back, and you would have expected Delaney to be in a chance. So straight away, yellow. But then seeing it back, actually seeing the way he took him out completely.
Every time I see it, it gets closer and closer to UFC, which is not a good thing.
We had that way, but then we weathered a bit of a storm.
Yep.
And Lee Barrett was trying to keep us entertained single-handedly.
Well, single hand being the operative word,
We talk about positivity, and one of the things I thought was massively encouraging on Saturday was Lee Bowe, obviously, disgusting blunder, and straight away the crowd chanting his name on his bag. And we saw it at the end of the game. He's coming over in front of the North Stand, and he's, you know, big round of applause.
That was fantastic.
And it's one of these, if you're losing like 3-0 at home to Donny, or was it 3-1, I forget, and anyway, then he makes an error like that straight away, the crowd on his back, boo, get him off, Royal, Joel Burley, any manager for the last 20 years, you know, like, take your pick. But as I say, side that's winning games, bit of confidence in there, and all of a sudden it rubs off, you know, the team and the supporters.
Mistakes are forgiven.
They're
classed as mistakes. So, yeah, we rode it up, and then we scored against the run of play.
Yes. Nice goal.
Which was a really nice goal. And then from then, that was it.
I have to say, it was only us
that were going to win the game.
Second half, I personally thought was better than anything we did against West Ham. I thought we were outstanding second half. The key for me, I mean, you could look at probably, say, 8 or 9 players on the team and say possible man of the match candidates, but for me, it was Drury. You've got a player there who's absolutely run his socks off.
And Higham, of course, both of them run it. They're not letting players settle. That's the thing that started against West Ham, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. I mean, it's every ball being chased down, every tackle made, and it's astonishing the difference it makes.
Unlike the Diamond earlier in the season, this formation so far, though it's just...
Well, whatever formation it may be, I'm not exactly sure how it works.
other than, obviously, the enforced change of Sonko in this run of games, it's been the same 11. And we played pretty much the same sort of setup, and teams haven't been able to counteract that. And Cardiff had no answer for it at all.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, I mean, the third goal in particular was reminiscent of us against Leeds, in that McNaughton had absolutely no idea what he was doing. Thought he had about the keeper was about 5 yards closer than he actually was. And fair play to Martin. I detest Lee Martin, but he's been brilliant recently, and he stepped in.
Why do you detest him?
It's a lengthy story involving friends and a nightclub of ill repute in Ipswich, and we'll move swiftly on.
It's just a shame that Messi then goes and scores exactly the same goal the next night, and Martin gets no credit for showing him the way.
Awful,
it was an identical goal.
Was it? Messi scored near four this time, didn't he?
But I mean, I was happy for Martin because of all the industry and all the hard work he's been putting in. He hasn't had the goal reward, and he scored that, you know, that goal, that third goal, was a Chopra-style goal.
Yeah.
Just being there to capitalise on a mistake, being in the right place and being cool just to nick it in the goal.
As indeed was Chopra's, and fair play to Chopra for saying he wasn't going to celebrate in front of his old team and then celebrating with vigour.
It was running away, pumping his arm and going, I'm celebrating now, I'm just going to dive on the turf.
Yeah, well, fine, I've started, so I'll just keep going. And again, same thing, we saw everybody in the entire team come over to celebrate.
Including Jimmy,
with the exception of Jet, who, by all accounts, was in front of the Cardiff fans blowing kisses, which is a nice touch.
Yes. But did notice, actually, Cardiff fans were applauding Chopra's goal. There were fans
within
their
end.
Yeah, they were. I think they've seen the man rather than the opposition player, which is nice. So
a bit like the Billy Sharp thing.
I was a bit worried about one person's goal celebration with that, which was Delaney, who picked up Chopra like a rag doll and nearly threw him into the North Stand.
I heard today Damien Delaney can drive a golf ball 350 yards before it bounces now. That's probably a lie, but it's a good lie, isn't it? But he arms like Popeye, terrifying.
But again, that was the worrying thing. You know, Smith, Delaney at the back, two left footers, two that always seem to need a senior partner or two clean sheets.
Smith was exposed a couple of times, wasn't he, on his wrong side when they kept going past his right side. And
it is because he's playing on the right of the pair.
And you think any minute now he's going to bring someone down because he's going to miss time and tackle. But he did all right.
But again, I think just generally we said this about Edwards as well. They're thinking more as a defence. They're not panicking like they used to. They're thinking more. They're using their position. They're staying on their feet more and lunging in
with
tackles.
It's confidence again.
And it is the confidence to play.
It gives you a couple of seconds
covered.
to bring the ball down. And just all of a sudden think, right, okay. And then again, you've got Higham and Drury both prepared to drop deep, take the pressure off the back four. And again, you know, like you say, I mean, and as a result of that, you know, you've then got Martin Jett out wide doing their thing, and the ball's going out to them, and all of a sudden we're playing good passing football. It's a, you know, it's a cliche, but it's not really rocket science. But at the same time, you know,
if you've got the ball, the other team can't score.
Quite right.
Sorry, you carry on. I'm just looking at emails.
We're running out of positive, you know, things
I know,
to say.
You're running out of superlatives, aren't you, boys?
But it's fantastic.
They've sold out of Portman Pies at half time. That really ground
my
gears.
We do have a negative.
I know. Sort it out, Clegg.
Also sold out of Brighton tickets by all accounts.
Very quickly. I'm going on Saturday and I'm thoroughly looking forward to it.
I think everyone is, aren't they? Either a day or a weekend out.
That is fantastic. Selling out 2,500 tickets, and it should be a cracking.
And they've sold out their end as well.
Apparently, their home end sold out as well, so it's going to be a completely full stadium.
Is their home end sold out every week anyway?
This is something I found out about them, because obviously the Wifdean was 5,000-6,000 capacity, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the away fans probably have about 500-600 tickets if they wanted all of them. They moved to a new stadium, 18,000 season to get sold out before the season starts.
Yeah, it's all on ballot now as well, isn't it?
Quite 18,000, so. Fantastic. But they've already reapplied for planning permission to expand it to the next stage, you know, pushing it up to a 30,000. It's absolutely fantastic for them.
And of course, it's great.
And it did prove the point all those years when they had the ground robbed from them, had the ground share with Gillingham, which Brighton to Gillingham isn't.
Not the best commute, is it? No,
it's not a ground share at all, but it is a. It is really an uprooting, and then to play in a tiny little athletic stadium is just an insult to them. They've finally got a home, and they're proving that they deserve it.
And on top of all of that, it's a chance for us all to know acquaintances with our favourite Argentinian, isn't it?
Certainly.
Mr. Treacle, who by all accounts should really be the next Argentine manager. But anyway, yeah, so it's I'm thoroughly looking forward to that for all of the above reasons and more. So
is Maradona still the manager at Argentina?
I don't know what Maradona does, to be honest.
No, I don't think he ever did.
I mean, I do, but it's not for radio. So
Brian Klug, before we get into emails, Brian Klug, what do you make of that? Anything
if,
in it, do you
if
think?
If true, that would be...
It would be wonderful.
It would be lovely.
The man yeah, knows he's, the club he's inside Ipswich, out, isn't he?
Got
yeah.
that. But why, what would make him want to leave Tottenham?
Harry going to England, I suspect.
It is. And also, the Tottenham job he's got is kind of... It's what he was doing at Ipswich, but he's not the main man. He's sort of like...
I think...
It's like the second in command, as it were, from his job title, it seems. So he's working in a team, whereas if he was... I think if he were to come back to Ipswich, the role he'd be put in, similar to what he had before... Where he's bringing those youngsters from the point where this is where we're struggling completely is when they get to the point where they should be knocking on the first team door, is finding that football, that place where you can get them.
Well, you've got
just over that
that's
hump.
It. I mean, Haim got in as a result of the incumbent midfield being diabolically inept.
Yes,
Joe White, by all accounts, is on the edges. Although I think you know,
but again, Joe needs. What's he going to do now? Because he's well, football.
It's opportunity though, and it's that age old thing. You just got to wait for your chance. And then who's this young kid, Bryce Lawrence? Who again? He's 15, and I mean, he's
Byron Lawrence.
He's on the edges as well. And so I think it's one of those. I think there's been a lot of chat over the last week or so about whether he should go for Cat 1 or Cat 2 in terms of academy status. Signs would point that if you know if Brian Klug's coming back, then it is most likely going to be a Cat 1. But you know, of course, it's speculation.
But they've also said even for the Cat 2,
yeah.
the staff that we have, numbers at our academy, the amount of coaches and that, the numbers will need to be increased even for a category 2, which is equivalent to what we are at the moment anyway.
Do we know where this rumour came from, by the way?
No,
so it's complete speculation on my part. Yeah.
So it'd be very...
You sent it in to Phil from 5 different sources all with your email address.
Yeah, quite right, yeah.
But that would be nice to have an Ipswich man back again who knows... Yeah.
Well, he is. I mean,
he knows the territory.
Exactly, and you sort of like, you know, Dyer, Bramble, Wright. I mean, these are players all, you know, all came through. I mean, these are players.
And
you
there's
know.
Someone else as well who I'm not allowed to mention. Do you reckon he'll bring him back?
Well, no, we bought him into our academy. We didn't develop him from 10, 11, 12. So
how old was he when he came here?
We bought him at the age of about 15 or something.
Just Neville Abadala.
$5,000 for him.
Yeah, but I mean, it was Klug that got him, wasn't it? Didn't he pick him up?
No, he came with his dad.
Did he?
Goalkeeping coach.
Oh, right, yeah. No, I'm not allowed to mention the word.
His dad was a goalkeeper.
I rightly get chastised.
And when he wanted to bring his son along, we paid Barnsley the handsome sum of £5,000.
Did we really?
Yeah, we did, which was raised a few eyebrows at the time, but obviously it was... proven right.
But
again, then there's something in it that these guys, as you said, have moved on to try and further their careers at bigger status clubs, Premier League, the rest of it, but they still have such an affection for their club where they started off, in their hometown club, and that is part of the whole culture and the system that they came through. And we were saying last week about Shane Supple, just had an article the other week where he was interviewed about it, and he said since the takeover of Marcus Evans, that culture kind of changed around the training ground. It was more business, it was less family, it was less about looking after players, it was more about, you know, kind of a factory system to it. And the players were more about the pounds and more about, I want to be successful rather than trying to improve themselves. So, you know, that whole culture that used to be at the training ground where Ipswich was their club.
Yeah.
And they wanted to play for the Ipswich first team and do their best.
Well, but
they knew the opportunity was there if they were good enough. I don't know if our players feel
that same opportunity. It does suggest, certainly, that, I mean, from a wider perspective, that the club is very much looking as, well, certainly it gives an indication that the club are looking at youth as the future. But there's been a lot of chat, you know, this year, obviously, about, you know, Jewell, and with justification that Jewell's been looking to pick an aging midfield, just short-term loans, putting in a stopgap just to buy us over. And obviously the fans, I think a number of fans have got quite frustrated as a result of that. For me... this move appears to be a bit of a, you know, the flip side of that coin. It is a positive sign. You know, Brian obviously knows what he's doing and the guy's got pedigree. And
he's got a pedigree Labrador as well, I hasten to add.
Really?
Yes, I see it up the park a lot of Sundays. Yeah.
I wouldn't say that Jules not interested in the youth, but if he can have somebody in there that takes care of it for him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to overlook it. He doesn't have to. Somebody will come to him and say, all right, you know, I think this lad's probably about ready, or, you know, is there a way you can give a chance, or do you reckon we should get him alone? I think there's somebody, so Jewell can concentrate on the first team and, you know, that side of things, and then the youth can be produced for him. It can be kind of presented to him, like, here's your next youngster.
Yeah.
In that way, and I think if you get someone like Brian in who's had a, you know, track record of doing that.
Yeah,
I think that will work for Jewel in that respect. Not that Jewel doesn't fancy youth, I just don't think he wants to concentrate on it or to have to, you know, to think about that or to be involved with that. I think he just wants to concentrate on the first team.
Yes,
and you say, yeah, he overloaded the team with old players with, you know, the experience, but they didn't quite have the legs or the enthusiasm, maybe.
And loanees, of course.
And loanees as well, which, you know, they can work both ways, but when the loanees aren't potential signings, it can be a bit difficult to, you know, wonder where their real intention lies.
Well, we're missing Keith Andrews' goals, but we're certainly missing Collins at the back,
yes.
I think. And he hasn't replaced him with, even if he did get another loan player, and I think he needs to do that sooner rather than later, because this one run won't go on forever, sadly.
But then again, I mean, you look at Murphy, and I'm right now, Murphy, for me, you know,
he's a quiet man, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I say the quiet man because he ain't got like the flair of Jett or Martin, but at the same time, he does what he's doing on that left wing. He's very effective, and he's right now, you'd say we should be looking to get him on the books.
Decent partnership with Creswell,
massively.
A little bit unnoticed. They just get on with what they're doing, and they work really well together. Yeah. And he is a hard worker, but he's not quite so hustle bustle. He's not a terrier like Martin, funnily enough, for me,
it's almost like, I think, you know, to an extent the roles are reversed with those two. Like, because Creswell's very good going forward, but I think sometimes lacks a little bit defensively.
Yeah.
Right now, that's being compensated for by the fact that Murphy does work hard, he does track back, he helps out.
Got a bit of a wall in front of him, hasn't he?
Exactly right. And I think it's a really good point. The two of them together, right now on that left side, it's working very well. Of course, you know, which you won't see, you know, dare say on Saturday, Brighton will score 15 down the left-hand side and it all will change again. But, right now, it's, you know, again, it's a positive, you know. I'm a happy little bee right now.
But that's the other thing from having a settled 11. When you've got that same team, everybody knows roughly where somebody else is going to be covering on the pitch. So Creswell knows if he wants to make a bombing run forward that he can trust the fact that Murphy or Haim or whoever will drop into that hole.
Yeah.
Edwards has caught out a lot of times earlier in the season when he's trying to learn how to be a right back, but still, you know, got that bit of that attacking instinct.
Yep.
That he'd go running up the pitch and there'd be this gaping hole behind him, and he'd rely on his own pace to try and get back and cover for himself. And now there's that trust and that knowledge of what when somebody else is doing something where you need to be as a player, where you need to cover. So he's working properly as a unit now.
I'd give Edwards another contract. I know people are saying they're worried about him. Getting on, he's 30 odd now, isn't he? But
he's 33.
But he's fit
now,
as a flea, isn't he?
Hell of a ball for that second goal.
Exactly, he gets down that wing, and okay, if they can get a fullback in, because you don't ideally want him playing at fullback, but he's certainly got to be worth another season.
Yeah, there is another option between, you know, you could see him interchangeable with Jett, couldn't
you? Mm.
Yeah.
If Jett right back, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Well, Jett has played left back, apparently. Apparently, someone was saying, Mr. Utility.
He probably just ended up there, actually.
Was he not centre-back at Arsenal, like, when he was 14?
He must have been for his size, I'm sure.
Right,
I can just imagine him as centre-back, trying to dribble it out of his own area, beat four players.
Yeah, it worked for Tyus Bramble, so.
yeah. Well, it didn't work for Tyus Bramble.
No.
Right, this is an all-points bulletin from our man, from Laramie this week, he is. Bless him, the man from Block 8, which fails dismally on radio, because it's a picture of Aaron Lee Barrett getting yellow carded, and he asked should it have been red. I think you should, actually. I think we've agreed on that one.
For the style of tackle rather than the position Barrett found himself in.
Right. Here we go. The stats. It doesn't say who it's from. I don't think I can see who it's from anyway. Naked Football Team. Going back to your most recent show regarding hitting the woodwork, I have some great stats. Leicester,
fantastic.
17 times. Blimey. Middlesbrough, 16 times. Ipswich, 14 times. We're third in the Hitting the Woodwork League.
We are.
All right. That's quite interesting. How does he find that out?
I don't know.
That's fantastic. Keep them coming. That's brilliant. Don't know who it is, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, those are useful stats, yes.
Well, they are. We like those. Right. Jonathan Powell. Hi, Graham and co. Love the show. I'll be out walking in the Lincolnshire countryside.
Oh, nice.
Listening to the podcast when you read this. Bless. How nice. I keep hearing... It's nice and flat anyway. You haven't got to go up any hills, have you? I keep hearing the panellists bemoan our need for a centre-back, but I think you guys have been missing the real problem. Good team is built on players who complement each other, playing a system and style of football that suits their strengths. Just look at that despicable human being, John Terry's problems, trying to play in a team that presses with a high line. He hasn't become a bad centre-back, it's just the team style doesn't suit his strengths. Barcelona can play like they do due to their highly technical players. Stoke couldn't play like Barca. Nor could Barca replicate the Potter's robust style. Jewell has seemed to want a high-tempo game with a pressing midfield. This forces the opposition to attack. through long balls over our midfield and down the wings, which our centre-backs are most suited to deal with. The old-timers, Bullard, Boyer, etc., don't possess the natural pace and energy to do this. They're lacking the athleticism to prevent teams passing through them if they do press. This exposed our centre-backs early on this season, particularly evident at Posh, where their sprightly midfield danced rings around our duffers. Drury and Hyam's energy in the middle, coupled with Martin dropping in to make a pressing three, and Chopra harrying the defence, has been the key to our clean sheets. Quite correct. Quite correct. I wouldn't be sad to see any of Ledbetter, Boyer or even Bullard leave this summer. They're all good players, but they don't fit our style of play, and getting them in the team would mean reverting to a more pedestrian tempo. Time for Jewell to stick to a system and bring in the players who will fit that style of play, and not just sign good players who won't fit into what we want to do. All the best from John Powell. Cheers for that, John. Relevant points there.
Yeah, did he text that? Because that's about £4 worth of text.
Yeah, I hope he did. It's cost him.
No, I can't disagree with the whole the theory of, if you've got a style of play that works, bring the players in that fit that style, rather than trying to force, you know, players. And it was the old boys that can't get around the pitch.
Yeah,
Bowie has always played with that snap and that bite, and, you know, obviously he's got a little bit of a reputation for being a hard man or what have you.
Yeah,
he can't do that anymore. He's never been the quickest anyway.
And
Bullard's more suited to kind of sit, lay back, picking the ball up, walking forward with it, laying off a little pass here and there, rather than charging around. So
this, I'm thinking about this. It's sort of like, it's been such a strange season. We started off with a little run against West Ham and Brighton and Cov, where we were picking up good results, playing this diamond. Then it all went terribly bad in one against Millwall. There's part of that. I'm trying to put my finger on quite why that is. I mean, clearly right now we've got players playing a good system, as the guy emailing and said, you know, with a lot of confidence and, you know, like, everyone like kind of able to sort of like rely on one another at any given time. But I sort of look back at what we did in the season, I wonder if perhaps maybe we were sort of a victim of circumstance, or maybe it was ineptitude on the part of Jewell. I don't know. I mean, against Millwall, for example, Bowyer went off injured after what, 6 minutes? Mm. And Bowyer was absolutely critical to that little run we had earlier in the season. I don't know.
That's why we're not managers.
No, but also it is the whole philosophy of defending from the front that we always hear about, that always sounds a little bit tosh sort of thing. You'll know, you know, you can't have a striker just standing there with a ball trying to, you know, chase everything. Mm-hmm. But that's what Chopra's been doing. He has been not given, you know, he's not given the opposition any time with the ball. You've got Martin doing the same. Jett and Murphy put their shift in when they haven't got the ball, and that really stops the pressure from building. And when it does, when they do break through, they've normally got a Drury or a Hyam to then contend with, even if they do get into our half of the pitch.
Quite,
So, yeah, there is a certain element that there's a lot less pressure. And Delaney, any long ball from Cardiff, which they really surprised me with that, their style of play, playing that sort of long ball, pumping up, he just ate up everything.
I think that's what...
And that suits him perfectly. And, yeah,
that's what
John's point was. But you do just worry when you have got somebody that can... run at our defenders, that they're still that little bit, they are vulnerable to that.
It's quite interesting. It's like one of my bugbears of Naked Football Show's past is coming in and whinging at length about the fact we play 4-5-1 at home. Mm. What if we haven't said we played 4-5-1, albeit in a slightly different format, and we were absolutely staggering. So, I mean,
it's the personnel playing it, and you know, and you're not playing a flat five across the middle, are you? You are playing
it's a sort of a like a 4-4-1-1, isn't it, really? Because
it's sort of 4-2.
Lee Martin's off the front.
It is 4-2 and then a 3-ish one, isn't it?
It's just numbers, basically. Yeah, it's
a numbers game.
We have got one in goal and then four across the back. Apart from that, I haven't got a clue, but it's working.
1-4 mess. Yeah, fine, I'll go with that.
This is from our man Joe. Hello, Joe. Good evening, chaps. Now that Town are seeming to edge closer to safety in the Championship this season, do the panel think that Paul Jewell is the right man to kick on for the playoffs next season? Wait, next season? Oh, yeah, you little faith.
To talk about pessimism, get off the show.
Yeah, come on.
What's this with negative come on, thoughts?
Joe. Personally, I'd like to see the context of Ellington, Boyer and Bullard placed precariously near the company shredder and all loan players sent back. Then Bill for next season with youth, Smith, Hyam, Murray as the team spine, and new man, Lee Clark or Carl Robinson at the helm.
Wow.
Either way, let's hope for 3 points at the Amex. Is it Amex? Is that what they call it?
Yes, it is. Sponsored.
Well, Jim, want to come on the show next week, Joe, if you're about? Yeah, if you're going to the game, you might as well. You haven't been on for a week. So anyway, come back on.
No interest in Lee Clark or Carl Robinson, I've got to say. Simply, I mean, Clark.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Well, anyway, no, it's not. I think, you know, I think Clark personally is probably going to go to another Championship club, whom I know not. But I mean, again, even though Clark's had this fantastic run at Huddersfield, like, I think it's 3 defeats in 55. Mm. There's a lot of chat up in that area of West Yorkshire about the fact that Huddersfield, to all intents and purposes, had a paper thin defence. You know, in the habit of throwing away games and winning positions more often than not. I mean, exactly the same as we've been doing this year. You know, I think we've thrown away 27 points from winning positions or something like this. Remarkable statistic. And Robinson, again, it's, well, he's young and he's ambitious, and which is fine to a point. But again, MK Dons are, you know, he's been there for what is it, 2-3 years, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's, they're just floating around.
What both of them have had, though, the real, you know, reason they've been successful is the young Ipswich striker that they've had up front scoring goals for them both. So, you know, it's
very good. It, yeah, is bonus, very, of course,
it is very foolhardy to say, yeah, they're going to be successful with us, because, you know, no, they haven't got those gems that came through the Ipswich Academy playing up front for them. So
many thanks to John Cram, by the way. That was the stat. Sorry, I'd lost all the stuff with my ineptitude with modern technologies. No, that was John Cram who sent in the stats.
I think Joel has brought himself to the end of the season minimum. And if we continue a positive vein, obviously we're not... Well, I say we're not going to win out the rest of the season, but, you know...
We're going to lose every game 3-0, that's how it works.
But that's it. But we're positive to the end of the season, you know, keep progressing, keep moving up to League 2. Yeah. Something really comfortable. Maybe, you know, you never know, but I'm not going to mention the P word. But, well, as long as we keep in that vein, then you have to give them that chance, because the team for next season,
Bob.
We've already got the nucleus there. I agree about the loans, Ellington, Bowyer, even Bullard. Ledbetter looks like he's gone anyway. You've got a few. You've got room to bring a couple of extra bodies in. We do need a permanent number one. I love Barrett, but I still think we need a permanent number one.
Definitely, yeah.
We do need more bodies in the centre back position. Whether Sonko, Delaney, and Smith can cut it or not, you know, for a full season when you're supposed to be challenging at the right end of the table, we probably still need a right back, which we haven't had since David Wright went. Edward's doing a fantastic job, but he still needs. Another body there, I'm sure. This Bennett, who's been the only scholar that's been kept on, he's not ready, obviously. He's a right back, but, you know, I can't see him coming into the team. Love to be proved wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
And then all you need to replace are the players that aren't going to be here next season. And, yeah, pick up Murphy. I'd be quite happy if we did give Murphy a permanent.
What about Jason Scotland before we go quickly?
Jason Scotland, yeah. He's got one more year in him.
Yeah. Not for me. He's been good this year, but I look at what we've got and what we could get in place of Scotland, and for me, no.
I'd only say that he was the reason that we were losing games on that poor, you know, run. Was every time he went off the pitch, the other team would.
I know, because he was holding the ball up well when we were leading at places like Forest.
They would gain possession of the ball and push on and beat us.
Yeah, but that's quite a negative mindset. And of course, we're all about the positivity today. So, I mean, you know, joking aside, moving forward, I think you know, Scotland's done a good job for us, and I've got a lot of time for him. But I do think that we could find someone better.
Well, he is still a natural goal scorer, isn't he? And you know, you're going to have to fork out a lot when you've already got one on your books.
It works very well at the moment. If Chopra's starting games and he's coming on just to lock it down at the end, it's working quite well. And the other way, as I say, when he was starting games, he was playing the hour, and then he's coming off, that's when suddenly the opposition gain the upper hand. So
Jury's out on...
But it's who's available, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I know someone in Huddersfield. Jury's out on Scotland then, so we'll have to finish. Quick predictions, you just have to tell us how many we're going to lose by on Saturday.
Five.
3.
Okay, I'm going to go for 1,802, I think. 1,802, 0. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, Tom. Thanks to Mr. David James, the England goalkeeper, no more. Till next week, have a good one. Bye-bye.